On the 19th of April, 1943, a star was born that we came to know as Margot MacDonald. Noticed by only a few in her formative years, that star burst forth into Scottish life in all its splendour when she won the 1973 Govan by-election. Thereafter, she captivated friends, opponents, and the people of Scotland through her intellectual power, radiance, beauty, warmth, humour, humanity, and colossal talent for 41 years. Charismatic is an inadequate word for Margot. She was dusted with magic. Our friend Jim Walker, from his base in Hong Kong, he runs an economics analysis business, devoted the first seven paragraphs of his weekly economic analysis, sent to clients worldwide, to this memory of his first meeting with her in 1986, when he was just a young academic. These are some of the words from that long tribute. She was instantly engaging, enveloping, enlivening, and enthralling. She treated me with the affection for which she became famous. She oozed integrity, humanity, and beauty of spirit that lifts your soul to heaven. Margot MacDonald left everyone she met better for the experience. She was, as many said to me in their letters of condolence, a force of nature, a powerful force for good, and a superb example of a willingness for personal sacrifice in order to perform public service, with both physical and moral bravery. Most knew that Margot was plagued by ill health, but very few knew that she was never free from pain. There were two Margots, the one who belonged to the public, evidenced by the attendance here today, and the avalanche of mail our family has received from all parts of the British Isles and beyond. There was also a private Margot who belonged to us, her family, as Mum, Mummy, Grandma Sillars, Granny Margot, or just plain Granny to our 10 grandchildren. She was the mothership of our family. My pet name for her was Last Minute Margot. Sometimes said with affection, seldom said with affection, often with exasperation, as for the umpteenth time, every night I told her, here's a tray, put your keys, your parliamentary pass on this. And then, as the taxi's waiting, she couldn't find her parliamentary pass, her keys, her makeup bag of vogue, incredible importance, and, of course, the thing that mattered most, her mobile. Peter Warren and Mary Blackford knew there was Greenwich Mean Time, British Summer Time, and the one they operated on was Margot Time. By the way, I said a makeup bag. That's not quite true. It should be in the plural. I've found makeup bags all over our house in the last week. It was very important to her because, as Elaine has alluded to, Margot liked a bit of glamour and a fair amount of bling. Margot was at her happiest in Portugal, gossiping with her friend Joaquina in Portuguese and wining and dining with her doctor there, Steve Beck, and his partner, Seamus. She'd get up in the morning, and I would have to get all this cream on her exactly 30 minutes before she went out the door. Bought, of course, from QVC. Let me tell you a story about QVC. Alec, and everybody's telling you how she planted QVC all over the place. She told Claire, our young carer, that she was a far better organiser than her husband. What she forgot was I did all her admin, including her bank account, so I knew every penny she'd spent. But there she was with the QVC cream on, and then she would go into the pool and spend a vigorous 45 minutes doing her Parkinson's exercises, come out, get wrapped up in the towels, onto her lounger, which had to be precisely facing the sun. Couldn't be an inch this way or an inch that way, just precisely. Pink hat on head, a cup of Lapsang Souchong tea, and a small pastel donato by her side. Then, with a flick of her fingers and that mischievous smile, say, "Just bring me my mobile, James, and that will be all for now." Then she picked up her mobile and for the next 2 hours gossiped with journalists and pals back home. Margot's love for and pride in her grandchildren was no different from any other grandma's. But she made sure that her public persona was not an overwhelming factor in their lives. She was just grandma who was always fun. The proof of this came in the immediate aftermath of her death. Although our grandchildren knew she was an MSP and therefore of some importance, they had no idea until the outpouring of public sorrow what a significant person she was and the esteem in which she was held. It is not possible in celebrating Margot, the private Margot, without, you can't ignore it, her relationship with Hibs. Margot was not a fan of Hibernian. She was a fanatic. This woman, highly intelligent, threw all the intelligence and balance away. As soon as the whistle went to Easter Road, she was as mad as the rest of them. If Hibs were losing, it was the referee was biased. When her idol, Derek Reardon, yes, Derek Reardon was one of Margot's causes as well. Her prized possession is in fact a photograph autographed by Derek. When this idol of hers was sent off for a brutal kick, George will remember this if he was there, a brutal kick on Rudy Scatchell of Hearts. She turned to me aghast and claimed, and I quote, "Derek hardly touched him." Then there was the Jambos, and it's been alluded to earlier. There was the time she was ribbed by a Hearts supporter. She told him they were doing operations up at the Royal Infirmary to correct his condition. She was part of the Hibs family, and I would like to thank Rod and Morag and Amanda and Mimi and all the staff and all the security personnel and all the wonderful people round our table in the Edinburgh suite, because a home match really made her day. I only got into trouble with her once. I told her last season that Hibs was so boring that I was going to bring a book. "If you do that," she said, "you'll have to make your own tea that night."